Welcome, everybody, to AEW Dynamite Download, your home for all positive coverage on All Elite Wrestling. You got your co-hosts, your mainstays, SPD and Crayfish, and we are joined by a very special guest, a man who's going to be making big waves very soon here in AEW, the man himself, Ten. Thanks so much for joining us tonight, man. Appreciate your time.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good.
We're doing great, man. We've been fans of not only the Dark Order, but you ever since debuting AEW, and we're honored to have you on the show. First off, I want to say congrats on being in the AEW World Title Eliminator Tournament. You're going toe-to-toe with ex-champion John Moxley. Wow. How are you feeling about being in the tournament and your upcoming match with him?
So I'm super excited because it was kind of like I don't want to say super shocked, but I was like, oh, that's pretty cool that I'm in that picture, you know?
Yeah.
And this will actually be my second match with him. So I made my debut against him, actually, back in May 2020 with AEW, when him and Brody were in that program for the title.
Yep.
And that's when Brody, like, before the match, got on the mic and kind of dubbed me, like, the White Knight of the Dark Order. So this is, like, a rematch.
And that's when he broke your arm, right?
That is when he broke my arm.
Cool.
That's right. So you got a little price to pay, you know, eye for an eye kind of, right?
That's right. Yeah, man. And Moxley's been on a warpath, so it's going to be interesting to see you two powerhouses going toe-to-toe, man. That's going to be a good one. We usually start the show off with, you know, kind of your journey into AEW. And although this World Title Tournament is going to signify a huge opportunity for you, it all starts with how you got here, right? Let's backpedal a second. SPD and I are both from Michigan, and I actually worked out where you grew up in Clare. So real small town.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I worked out in Everett, Michigan. So,
oh, yeah, we talked about this.
That's yeah, right. So, you know, I know Clare is a real small town.
Yeah.
And for you to be able to break out and kind of be this huge success story that you are, it's pretty incredible to see. You got to feel like a kid again, kind of having this opportunity ahead of you. But what was it like? What were you like as a kid, man? Were you always an athlete?
Yeah, I was like your typical, jock, you can say. Cody always tells me I'm like because now it's like not cool to be the jock. So he always tells me I'm like your typical like 80s, 90s throwback. Like
not the bully,
I would have been like the bully, you know? I was pretty rambunctious and, you know, my mom told me I was pretty hard to raise, but I was always really into like baseball and hockey and, you know, stuff like that. So I definitely think I'm the only person from Clare to be on TV. That's for sure.
Yeah, man. Seriously, it's such an amazing story for you to break out. I mean, for a town that's like pretty much everybody's decked in camo, for you to kind of get out of the backwoods and kind of get out of the bright lights.
I grew up on a dirt road, 50 acres. My neighbors were Amish, so like,
wow,
it's a totally different world now, man.
Wow, man, you mentioned baseball and hockey, but you didn't mention wrestling. We know here that you're a huge John Cena fan, and that you know you so clearly like you've been a fan for a while. You know, tell me like what was your to me two things. What was your major inspiration into getting into wrestling? And, you know, piggybacking off of John Cena, he always talks about never giving up. What was it? What was your biggest challenge? What was your biggest like obstacle that you had to overcome in order to get to where you are now?
I mean, for one, just being from a small town is, you know, you get so used to just that's your thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
My biggest obstacle, and I mean, this is public and I post it on Instagram about it, but I'm not very super open about it. And I don't think I've ever talked about it on a podcast. But when I was 10, I got diagnosed with Crohn's disease. So I was kind of in and out of hospitals a lot as a child. And the one thing that really made me like motivated was wrestling. And, you know, I know every time I would have to go to the doctor for something, my mom would always buy me a new wrestling figure. So I'm like, that's really what made me fall in love with it. And I would see all these like, you know, larger than life guys and like, man, I want to be like that.
That's really cool.
And like, I stated that I was on a Barstool Sports podcast the other week, and I said, like, you know, Cena's was like my favorite, not because of, you know, how he wrestled, but because of what he did outside of the ring. He would always, you know, go to those children's hospitals and you know, and stuff like that. So that was definitely a big obstacle to overcome. I mean, now I'm, you know, I've been in remission for shit like 17 years now. So,
wow.
And then I tore both ACLs when I started wrestling. Both pretty back to back too. One was 2017, And then one was in 2019, the exact same day, March 2nd. But now I'm like every March 2nd, I'm like, I just got to sit at home.
Voodoo? You know? Yeah, yeah.
And then I tore my bicep shit 3 days after I signed with AEW.
My gosh, man.
Wow.
And to have that mental strength to be able to, like, not you're well known for your physical strength, but to have that mental strength to be able to overcome those consistent setbacks, it has to go back to when you were a kid, man, and going through what you went through. That's pretty amazing. Yeah,
and I think this is what really was the main factor to make me, like, mentally like that. So I'm always in the mindset that someone always has it worse than you, no matter what. And I think, so mine was, like, as a kid, like, I was always in and out of the U of M Children's Hospital a lot. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what was really going on with me at that point, but I would see these kids with, like, cancer and stuff. And as a child, I would say to my mom, like, at least I'm not like that, you know? So I think at that point was really like what made me like this, where, like, there's always someone that has it a lot worse.
That's a good mindset to try to get you through those difficult times, because, I mean, we all take a lot of things for granted, a roof over our head, water running, right, you know, electricity, things like that. And at a young age, it's not easy to see that clear picture on that. And to have John Cena as, you know, a role model, I mean, that guy is incredible, you know, back to him. Mm-hmm. The most Make-A-Wish grants ever by anyone.
It's right.
Not only does he do work, like, physically staying in shape, wrestling, movies, appearances, the Make-A-Wish stuff. I mean, I ever said if I made, like, an impact on someone and wanted, I would try to fill as many Make-A-Wish as possible. And so, that's incredible stuff. Now, I know you speak back to wrestling. You've trained at the Nightmare Factory. You know, we here at Dynamite Download are huge, big QT Marshall fans.
Big fans.
You know, he is a wealth of knowledge. Yeah. So what's your experience been like there, and how are you still involved with the Nightmare Factory today?
Yeah.
So I've known QT for 6 years now. So he was actually my trainer up. So I started at the Monster Factory in New Jersey in 2015. He was one of the assistant coaches there. So that's when I met him. So he's been my coach since the very first time I ever stepped in the ring, QT was there.
That's awesome.
So I've known him forever. He is I've never seen someone able to break down, like, wrestling like he does and really explain it to, like, these kids who've never, you know, been in a ring before. He is a wealth of knowledge. And he's me and him have very similar personalities. We're both super sarcastic, and he's a cool dude. He's one of my best friends. I met him at the Monster Factory. He was a coach. Damian Priest, who's now in WWE, was a coach. Matt Riddle was there when I was there. Nick Camarada was there when I was there. So at one point, we had a pretty talented crop of guys all at the same place.
Seriously.
So I came up there in a really good time. And then I tore my ACL in 2017 while I was there. And then QT had moved to Georgia. And he's like, hey, I'm starting this school. When you get healthy, if you, you know, want to maybe try a different change of scenery, if you want to come down to Georgia, you can stay with me and my wife, you know, till you find your own place. So I'm like, oh, sweet. So I did that. And then now I'm here.
Wow. That's amazing. So
are you coaching there as well now in the middle of training?
So I help. So we do, like, these, Cody does these, like, 12-week camps, with kids. So I always help with those. I was very involved in the first two because it was still during the pandemic. So we weren't on the road. We were just in Jacksonville, you know, every other week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But now that we're back on the road full time, it's, you know, it's hard to be there all the time. So,
of course, busy schedule for sure.
You got to focus on you.
I love it. I love coaching, but it's like, you know, like, also when I'm home, I have to try to get everything done before we go back on the road.
Yeah, and we got a little taste of kind of the crazy schedule with the Road to the Top show, which has been a lot of fun as fans.
Love it.
I always say, you know, peeling back the curtain on that.
Yeah.
Season finale is coming up this weekend, and you've been featured in it a lot. And what was it like being part of that show and part of Cody's man group?
I mean, I loved it because it was like us, like me, Cody, Ricky, QT, Solo, like, we're all, like, real life friends. Like, we all have a group chat. You know, and I think the name of the group chat is Solo Sucks. But, you know, so we literally
did QT make that one up?
I think Cody did.
Okay.
That's awesome.
But, you know, we all talk all day every day. So it was, like, from my understanding, like, I thought reality TV was gonna be super scripted, but, like, you know, it wasn't. Like, it was kind of like, I think they saw, like, we naturally had so much chemistry. It was more like, go out there and be yourself. like the car seat thing was all 100% real. Like, I don't know how to put in a car seat, you know?
I've had that exact struggle because we have that exact same car seat. I'm trying to learn it from watching your guys' show. It's not easy, man. that's the thing, man. Like, that's when I watch the show, it's an easy connection because it does show, like, you know, Cody and Brandy trying to start a family. And then beyond that, like you just talked about, the natural connection and family feel that AEW has, man. Every like, it seems so authentic.
Yeah,
that family vibe, and no other group I think embodies that more than the Dark Order. I mean, you guys are the home team of AEW, and you guys have gone through a lot of ups and downs together as a crew, and you've always kind of made a way to kind of work through those things like a true family. Can you tell us like what it was like to kind of enter the Dark Order? I mean, an established group. You talked a little bit about being the White Knight. What was that recruitment story like?
So it was when we did the tapings at the Nightmare Factory back in April of 2020, I believe it was. So it was like right after Brody had debuted. And so like the week before that, I did a dark match with Darby in Jacksonville. And that aired on Tuesday. And then so we did the dark tapings the following week in Atlanta on Wednesday. And that's when Brody, I just met Brody that day. I remember him walking in, and I was a huge, you know, Luke Harper fan from WWE. Yeah. And so I was like kind of starstruck. I'm like, this is fucking cool, you know? And then we instantly started talking about hockey. He said he was, I think, still like just got out of a men's league hockey thing. I'm like, that's nice. Crazy. Like, you were just in WWE and now you're playing men's league hockey, you know? And so we started talking about that. And then he, pulled Cody aside in QT and was like, what's up with Vance? Like, why isn't he signed anywhere? You know, like, he looks good. Like, he seems like a nice guy. Like, is there something wrong with him? You know? Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, like, you just haven't pulled the trigger yet. And he's like, well, I want him with me. I know, I'll take him under my wing, like on TV and you know, backstage, whatever. And I'm like, wow, that's like a huge honor, you know? So that's kind of like my signing story.
Yeah.
So that's like the real life recruitment into the group. And it was during the pandemic. So at that point, Silver and Reynolds, they weren't there for like weeks. I don't think they were even signed full time yet.
Yeah.
Stu and Uno were never there because they were in Canada and you couldn't cross the border. So now it's like Brody had just debuted with this group that's almost non-existent. So he kind of needed somebody, you know, I happened to be, I guess, in the right place at the right time. That's like, you know, and those guys, and we're all like, you know, it's not like just I watch a lot of these documentaries on old groups, like, oh, you know, that was just all for TV. But like, we're all really close, like backstage, you know, like me, Silver, and Reynolds, when we're together, man, it's absurd the stuff we say to each other. Like, there will be times where me and Silver will be talking. I forgot where we were. Me and Silver were just being ourselves. And Orange Cassidy comes up to us and he goes, you guys know there's like no camera on you. Like, you don't have to act like this. Like, this isn't BTE.
We love you guys at BT, and it's evident. We had an opportunity to talk to Silver and Reynolds, and both guys incredibly funny and personable people. It's no wonder why you get along so well with them. I did notice that you didn't mention Alan Angels, your tag partner, who has kind of dropped his mask recently and is kind of like, I think he's kind of venturing out, trying to dabble his.
Yeah, he's part of that whole blog crew, you know.
Yeah,
yeah, totally different crew. Yeah. Have you thought about like what it would be like to drop a mask? I mean, I feel like it's such a cool, iconic part of your persona. What's it like wrestling in a mask? And have you thought about what, like, long term, if that's something that, you know, Max Caster messed with you about it, but is it something that you might toy with in the future?
I mean, yeah, because like when I got signed, I hated the mask, like absolutely hated it. I didn't understand the character, but I wasn't going to say no, obviously, but I didn't understand like, on the indies, I never wore a mask. Like, I wasn't this dark, creepy, you know, person. Like, that's just not me. So I'm like, what the hell am I doing? And now I absolutely love it because it's like, it's such another element to your image, you know. Now you're not just a body guy. Now you, like, you either, whether you're a heel or face, you either look like a real life superhero or real life villain, you know? So it's really cool. And like, I've mentioned this before, but I let like the fans create all my gear. So like, fans will like tag me in like sketches they do. And I love fan art because I can't draw. So I think it's really cool. Awesome. But so they'll tag me and stuff. I'm like, wow, that's actually really cool. So I'll send it to like the gear person and he'll like kind of make it come to life. And then, you know, then they're watching TV and then they can see me like, wow, I drew that, you know? So now it's kind of like, now they're always connected to me. Cause I think I always try to look at it as like, I want to be like my biggest fan. So if I'm a kid watching, I want to, like, if I was a kid and drew something and sent it to a wrestler and he actually wore it, I'd be like, he's my favorite wrestler forever. You know what I mean?
I agree. 100%.
I try to always think as like, if I'm, cause I am still a fan, but I try to think of like when I was a kid, like, you know, not in the business, like, you know, like how would I feel if he did that?
Amazing answer, is so true. And anybody who's listening to this interview, you hear that, go follow 10, make sure you start sending him fan art. That's pretty amazing. That's really, really cool of you.
And then the whole new mask is like Deathstroke.
Love the new mask. It's amazing.
So I'm not a superhero person, so I didn't know who Deathstroke was. I didn't know what Deathstroke was. And then after the Rochester show when I debuted it, everyone was tweeting like these Deathstroke gifts to me. And I'm like, what is this? So Stu, who got very offended that I didn't know who Deathstroke was, had to explain it to me in catering immediately after. And I'm just like, okay.
All right. That's awesome, man.
Mm-hmm. So we were talking about, you know, Brody Lee and the whole family vibe. We love your relationship with Negative One. It's, you know, this big brother, little brother shenanigans. He's like your biggest hype man. And when he gets on commentary too, he's absolutely hilarious. What's your relationship like been with Negative One over the past year?
I mean, it's just grown. He's the best, man. It's funny because a lot of people assume that I have known that family forever. Mm-hmm. And I did not know them till literally when Brody was like a week before he passed away.
I remember
meeting him and Amanda backstage, and like I knew who they were, but I wasn't in gimmick at all. I think maybe Amanda knew who I was, but little Brody definitely had no idea who I was. Yeah. And then I said, you know, hello, whatever, and just went on with my business. And then when I got in full gimmick, I was like behind them, and little Brody turned around and he's like, Mom, that's 10. And then he was just gravitated towards me. I think it's like, I'm never like super serious, and I try to always be very lighthearted. So I think like in a time that was really hard for everybody, especially him, it kind of let him like just be a kid again and kind of take his mind off of, you know. And that's what, like, we'll do these charity events, and Thunder Rosa will always be like, she'll always be like, man, you have the gift. No matter where we go, the kids just are gravitated towards you. That's and awesome. I think it's because I just naturally give off of like, yeah, like a big brother. And I've never been a big brother. I'm the young brother. So
right.
Weird.
I love that. I mean, he's in great hands for sure. And he looks like he's having a blast, you know, training to be a wrestler. I mean,
yeah,
he is surrounded by the best of the best of the best. And keep up the great work with being that mentorship, because it shows. And we love watching it on TV and backstage as well. But you mentioned, you know, Thunder Rosa and the community. I want to mention about the AEW community outreach program. You're seeing a lot of that on social media. So how did you get involved with that? And what are some of the things you guys are doing with it, or goals with the community outreach program?
So every city, it's like Sean Dean was kind of the one who would set it up. Yeah. And then
that's cool.
Me and Sean are really good friends because he also trains at the Nightmare Factory.
Right.
And so I told him, like, you know, wherever we're at, I'll do them, you know, because I think it's cool, you know, and it's always something different. And, you know, like the one we did in Philadelphia was like a book drive thing for like kids. The one in Chicago was called Fire Buddies. And it was like the fire department would bring in these kids who either currently had these illnesses or just beat them, which that like hit home to me, you know. So I was like, that's sort of the stuff I really like to do.
Right.
And then we did the Humane Society one, and I don't remember where we were, but yeah, I mean, I just like I love doing it because like there's so many people who have these like large platforms in entertainment or music or sports, whatever, and they don't do anything good with it, you know, except just that one outlet of whatever their job is. So it's like there's so much more to wrestling than actually wrestling. And that was something I was told like from the beginning. Like I was always told like the stuff you do in the ring is like 5% of the business. And as I started wrestling, I didn't understand. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, it's professional wrestling. The whole thing's wrestling. And then the more I'm in it, then I finally clicked, like, the wrestling aspect doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
You know, because like when I'd watch as a kid, I would never watch and be like, oh, he's my favorite because of that one
the movie. Work rate. Like, yeah.
like they're my favorite because of the people they are, you know, because the characters on and off screen. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
That's when I was like, oh, this all makes a lot of sense now.
And it's yeah. So much easier now with the use that platform. You know, back in the day, there was you know, fan mail and things like this, like the instant stuff that you can react to people. If you like someone's post or just comment right. on someone, you're very great on social to your fans.
Yeah,
like a
yeah.
little bit goes such a long way to so many people. If they are struggling that day, I'm like, oh, 10 liked my post or 10 reposted me. And like, it can be so impactful. But to you, it's just a click of the button. But this can make right. their week or their
and
month.
You don't and realize that, like how... like how much that means to people. Cause like I try to be super interactive.
You
and
are.
I did a meet and greet in Alabama and this lady told me that she was like really depressed and I started interacting with her on Twitter and she's like, you changed my whole life. And she like had my hash marks tattooed on her wrist. And I'm like, wow, this is insane.
You That's know? Powerful.
That's yeah. amazing.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's pretty amazing to hear like, and it's so genuine. This is one of the things when we interviewed Thunder Rosa, you talked about her too. And just you could tell when someone's genuinely care, like it comes from that place that in that mm-hmm. this is not a commitment that you have to meet. This is something that you genuinely want to do. And that and mm-hmm. I love and respect that. It's pretty incredible. And it's no wonder why Brody would always tease you about getting those pre-show workouts in, because your schedule has to be absolutely crazy, dude. I mean, it's unbelievable yeah. what you're doing right now. Let's transition into the ring and that training regimen, dude. You're one of the biggest, like baddest dudes on the roster. You're in this heavyweight title tournament for a reason. You are one of the more powerful guys in AEW. What are you doing now that you've seen looking back a year or two ago that it you feel like has really taken you to another level? What's your training regimen like and kind of what are some goals that you have going forward with that?
I mean, so I've been really into working out for like the past 11 years now. So I'm like, I don't want to say I'm vain, but like I take pride in how I look. So like I always tell everyone, like if I worked at McDonald's, I would still have the same workout schedule.
Mm.
I truly would, because I love working out. And
right.
that's what QT will always tell the new students. He's like, you know, like you can come in into the business and look good, but you know, you get signed, you're on the road, it's a lot harder to work out and stay in shape. He goes, unless you're a psycho like Vance who just likes to work out for no reason. You know? And I was talking to do you know Charlie Ramone? He's one of Darby's. He's like mm-hmm. on the vlog crew.
Yeah. So
he's one of my really, really close friends. He also lives in Georgia. And I was talking to him yesterday, and him and Darby were talking about people who like get injured and come back and like look like shit, you know. And Charlie's like, yeah, Vance came back and looked better than he did before, you know. So like, there's really no excuse to just like, I don't know. Like, I know some people don't like working out, but like, I loved it when my dad bought me like my own weight set when I was 16 and put it in our barn. Like, I had this whole back corner. And yeah. I just fell in love with it. So
it tells, man. You could tell. I mean, your power game is next level, man. It comes easy. And we just got done talking to Brian Cage, and there are guys who are strong, and then there are guys who are powerful. And you could tell that difference. You know, guys who are in control of that power and that sure. strength. And you're one of those guys. One of my favorite questions when you get that opportunity to talk to like, somebody in the business like you is, you know, we're big advocates of that iron sharpens iron motto here. We're big on like positivity and iron sharpens iron. So you got to have those counter people in your life that kind of bring out the best in you. Who are some people in the ring that you want to step in the ring with? I mean, obviously you mentioned you're going to be stepping in the ring again with Moxley, but who are some other people that you want to step in the ring with that you feel like will test you and take your game to another level?
So Miro is my dream match in AEW.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was more so when he had the TNT title.
Right.
I wanted that match, but I still want to wrestle. He's my dream match in AEW. I also really want to wrestle Spears just for the 10 chant. That's
oh.
it. That's the only reason.
Brilliant. That's yeah. funny. I like that.
And then as far as people I have already been in the ring with, Darby's phenomenal to wrestle. Like, I mean, can't say a bad thing about him.
Love Darby, man. That guy yeah. is so relentless for a reason, man. Just continues yeah. to push himself. Pretty amazing.
Absolutely. We can't wait for it. And I mean, the Miro thing, he's looking for some opponents. That promo we yeah. cut, man. So I could see it in the near future after this tournament's over with. Man. But
I'm
as
hoping,
we're
man.
winding things down, we like to end on a nice, light, easy note, a fast five random questions. But I'm going to add a six because you kept mentioning hockey, and I'm a huge hockey fan.
Okay.
So I'll add that six, and that involves some hockey stuff. But fast five questions, the first answer that comes to your mind.
Okay.
If you could wrestle in any arena in the world, where would it be?
Madison Square Garden.
The Mecca. That's right.
The old staple.
If you could have dinner with any three people, dead or alive, who would you want to have dinner with?
Ooh, I would go I'd go Brody. I would go – do they have to be wrestlers? Or just
no, anybody.
Anybody, right. Yeah.
I would go – I'd go Brody. I would go Steve Yzerman. And I would go Eminem.
Nice. Right. Those Detroit, Michigan right roots, there. Baby. I love it.
So my hockey question was going to be – who is your favorite Red Wing of all time? And I think you hit that one.
So it's not Steve Yzerman.
That's mine.
It's actually, it's Darren McCarty.
Oh, however, he's my second one because of that night at the Joe. Man, he won everyone over.
So I actually did McCarty's podcast months ago, and I have his number. I don't even know how he got my phone number, but he did. And I remember when he texted me, I thought it was one of my friends like messing with me. And I'm like, this is not Darren McCarty, you know, but it was. But since I've already like talked to him and like stuff, so it's like I've never ever met Steve Yzerman, you know,
right?
And he's like the Detroit legend,
yeah, that's right.
But that's McCarty was definitely my 19. Favorite.
McCarty is great, man. His book, if you haven't read it, it's a really good book too.
That I have it, I need back. To.
Yeah, it's a nice book that, a lot of great stories. Okay, what is your favorite movie or movie genre?
Ooh.
Favorite movie, Dumb and Dumber. Favorite genre, comedy.
classic for sure.
So you're saying there's a chance.
We asked this to Silver and Reynolds. If you could recruit any celebrity of the Dark Order, who would you want to recruit?
I would say... that's hard. I mean, the first one that comes to mind for me is The Rock.
All hey right. Man, that's an awesome answer. Yeah, yeah. He did some. That would be sweet.
Silver said Fred Durst.
I'm not surprised at all.
And then Reynolds swerved us big time. He said Sting, but the musician Sting. He waited for the pop, and then he just said a musician.
I hate those guys. I hate them.
All right.
Oh god.
Last fast six, I guess we'll call it. Favorite food item at Chili's, since you guys have been sponsored by Chili's a long time. What is your favorite go-to Chili's item?
Steak.
Steak?
Yeah.
That's all my right. go-to anywhere, but this is for real. Like, Chili's has a really good steak. Like, surprisingly, like, it's good, you know?
Nice.
I order steak everywhere, and I'm like, you know, if I go to, like, chain restaurants, I'm like, they're probably going to suck. But also, I'm not a very picky eater. But the Chili's steak is actually really good, surprisingly.
All right.
I like it. What I guess I'm curious. I'm sorry, SBD. What's your favorite cut of steak, Ten? What are you? Are you filet guy, T-bone? What are you?
I'd say T-bone.
All right, nice. Best of both worlds there. All right. Yeah. Well, thanks so much. Yeah, awesome answers, man. Thanks so much for being so candid and open with us and the fans. Anybody who's listening along, you definitely want to follow Ten. He talked about it in the interview. He's amazingly interactive with the fans. Always goes out of his way to try to. You know, either like your content or interact with you. And as he talked about, you might have an opportunity to create his gear. Ten, where can they find you on social?
Both on Twitter and Instagram, PRES10VANCE.
Excellent. And do you have any upcoming meet and greet events that you have on the horizon that fans could maybe see you in person, not just in social?
I just did one in New York last week, but I think I might have one in Philadelphia coming up in December, but still working that one out.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, stay tuned on social media. Make sure that you're plugged in. Ten, once again, thank you so much for joining us here, man. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys.